Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Text 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yadasya nabhyan nalinad aham asam mahatmana navidam yagya sambaram purusha vayavandate. When I was born from the abdominal lotus flower of the Lord Mahavishnu, the great person, I had no ingredients for sacrificial performances except the bodily limbs of the great personality of Godhead. Purport. Lord Brahma, the creator of the cosmic manifestation, is known as Swayambhu, or one who is born without father and mother. The general process is that a living creature is born out of the sex combination of the male and female, the male father and the female mother. But Brahma, the firstborn living being, is born out of the abdominal lotus flower of Mahavishnu, plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. The abdominal lotus flower is part of the Lord's bodily limbs, and Brahma is born out of the lotus flower. Therefore, Lord Brahma is also a part of the Lord's body. Brahma, after his appearance in the gigantic hollow of the universe, saw darkness and nothing else. He felt perplexity, and from his heart he was inspired by the Lord to undergo austerity, thereby acquiring the ingredients for sacrificial performances. But there was nothing besides the two of them, namely the personality of Mahavishnu and Brahma himself, born of the bodily part of the Lord. For sacrificial performances, many ingredients were in need, especially animals. The animal sacrifice is never meant for killing the animal, but for achieving the result, successful result of sacrifice. The animal offered in the sacrificial fire is, so to speak, destroyed, but the next moment it is given a new life by dint of the Vedic hymns chanted by the expert priest. When such an expert priest is not available, the animal sacrifice in the fire of the sacrificial altar is forbidden. Thus Brahma created even the sacrificial ingredients out of the bodily limbs of Garbo Dakshai Vishnu, which means that the cosmic order was created by Brahma himself. Also, nothing is created out of nothing, but everything is created from the person of the Lord. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam pavartate. Everything is made from my bodily limbs, and I am therefore the original source of all creation. The impersonalists argue that there is no use in worshipping the Lord when everything is nothing but the Lord himself. The personalist, however, worships the Lord out of a great sense of gratitude, utilizing the ingredients born out of the bodily limbs of the Lord. Fruits and flowers are available from the body of the earth, and yet Mother Earth is worshipped by the sensible devotees with ingredients born from the earth. Similarly, Mother Ganges is worshipped by the water of the Ganges, and yet the worshipper enjoys the results of such worship. Worship of the Lord is also performed by the ingredients born from the bodily limbs of the Lord, and yet the worshipper, who is himself a part of the Lord, achieves the result of devotional service to the Lord. While the impersonalist wrongly concludes that he is the Lord himself, the personalist, out of great gratitude, worships the Lord in devotional service, knowing perfectly well that nothing is different from the Lord. The devotee therefore endeavors to apply everything in the service of the Lord, because he knows that everything is the property of the Lord, that no one can claim anything as one's own. The perfect conception of oneness helps the worshipper in being engaged in his loving service, where the impersonalist, being falsely puffed up, remains a non-devotee forever without being recognized by the Lord.
Chakshurunmavitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha pancha kalpa turubhyasya kripa shindu bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
So just a brief summary. It's Narada's. Brahma is explained answering Narada Muni's questions about the creation, and this is Sukadeva Goswami is explaining this discussion to Maharaj Parikshit to answer his questions about the creation. So basically we've come to this chapter entitled Purusha Shukta Confirmed, which basically explains that this Achintya Beta Beta Tattva, that everything is coming from Krishna. At the same time, he remains aloof. And then the last discussion that we had, because everything, he was explaining the universal form in terms of its vibhutis, its opulences. All the opulences in the material world that are coming from Krishna. Their existence is, Krishna is the essence and principle of everything. You know, this was in Bhagavad Gita, the 7th chapter, all these verses. How Krishna is the basis of everything, the principle, of all opulences. So then there was a discussion how there's 8 pad vibhuti and 3 pad vibhuti. That, the tripad vibhuti, the most of the opulences, most of the energy of God, you know, the transcendental aspect, there in the spiritual world. And only by a fragment of himself is he manifesting this material world. And that part has the full manifestation of his potency. Full manifestation of Ladini, Shakti, or pleasure potency means there's no inebrities, there's always happiness. Full manifestation of Samvit potency, or cognitive potency means there's full knowledge, so there's no fear. Full manifestation of the Sandini potency is that existence is fully manifest. So there's no sense of deathlessness, of death, as there is in the material world. So this kind of nice comparison was described, how he's aloof, simultaneously one and different. And therefore, the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita was quoted extensively, because the first 10 verses of the 9th chapter, especially from verses 4 on, deal with the Lord's Achintya Beta Tattva relationship with the material world. So this was described, and I think we went over it quite comprehensively, and in going back in it in more in-depth study, you know, you can figure out more of the points here. Now, he's going to deal with the next question, was dealt with how is the material world sustained or conserved. That was how the material world was created. Now, how is it maintained? It's created by Krishna through the agency of Brahma, but it's maintained directly by Krishna through the process of yajna or sacrifice. So this point was here, and Brahma describes how when he was born, he had no ingredients for sacrifice, separate from Krishna. So then how to perform sacrifice? How to show your devotion and sacrifice for Krishna if everything belongs to him? And this is the question here that's being, if all the objects of creation are included in the Purusha, then how to worship him? How can you actually worship him? The Mayavadis, as Prabhupada says in the purport, said there's no use to worship him because everything is nothing but the Lord himself. So how can we worship him? And that's going to be described. Because basically, worship means not the object, but the consciousness or devotion behind it. And therefore, in the purport, it explains just as the Ganges, you can offer with the Ganges, and the earth, you can offer with the ingredients of earth. So everything belongs to Krishna, and that's even more the reason why to offer everything back to him.
not only for the pleasure of God, but to rectify our consciousness as the controllers and the enjoyers. We should worship it. It's like Sachi Dulal is Tamal Krishna Marja's servant. Everything there comes from his opulence. But he uses it in his service, still out of devotion. So, this is discussed here in the purport. And therefore, the verse quoted is Aham Sarvasya Prabhavoma Matasarvam Pavartate. Prabhupada said, everything is made from my bodily limbs. Everything comes from me. I am the source of creation. So that's Krishna and Brahma. Brahma is seeing that. That the world itself is maintained by Krishna. We go on. For performing sacrificial ceremonies, one requires sacrificial ingredients such as flowers, leaves, straw, along with a sacrificial altar and a suitable time to sacrifice. Other requirements are utensils, grains, ghee, honey, gold, earth, water, the Rig, Yaja, and Samavedas, and you need four priests. These are the technicalities. Called Hota, one who offers, Udgata, one who chants, Advayu, one who can kindle the sacrificial fire without the need of a separate fire, and Brahma, one who supervises. So this is how sacrifices have so many. This is going to be a sub-theme here. Because if that's the maintenance of the world, then how to perform sacrifice in this age? When Lord Brahma's explaining how the world's maintained, it's by sacrifice. And these are all the requirements for sacrifice and how to maintain the world. And therefore, Prabhupada quotes, the young give the chanting of the holy name. Harinama, Harinama. Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatiranyata. Other necessities include invoking the different names of the demigods by specific hymns and vows of recompense in accordance with the particular scripture, the specific purposes, and the specific processes. So it's describing, it's very technical. Specific scripture, specific purpose, there's vows. It's very, very scientific. So again, the point is, it's very, very difficult. This sacrifice, and Prabhupada again says, the simple process. In other words, it's really what's describing is, again, Krishna, you know, it goes back to Maharaj Prickett's original question, what is the process of creation? And then when Sukadeva Goswami began to explain how his question was answered by Lord Brahma in reference to questions to Narada Muni, there are a few more detailed questions, which include how is the world maintained? So here it's describing how the world is maintained. It's by this process of sacrifice, which is outlined in the Vedas. It's very, very detailed and very, very scientific. So the sub-theme that Prabhupada is bringing out for our relevance, because this is even written before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Prabhupada wants to make sure that we understand that sacrifice is necessary and how we perform sacrifice. Thus, I had to arrange all these necessary ingredients and paraphernalia of sacrifice from the personal bodily parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By invocation of the demigods' names, the ultimate goal Vishnu is gradually attained, and thus compensation and ultimate offering were complete. So the prayaschityam, the compensation, the purification, the personal purification was complete. This is necessary in any sacrifice that you have to purify yourself. So by arranging this sacrifice in this way, his prayaschityam was complete, his atonement his dues. Prayaschitta is dues. He paid his dues for the sacrifice. In this way, we have to pay our dues to Krishna. So he did it in this way, and some arpanam. Arpanam means worship or offering. And the ultimate or complete offering, it was complete in this way. Thus I created the ingredients and paraphernalia for offering, sacrifice, out of the parts of the body of the Supreme Lord, the enjoyer of the sacrifice, and I performed the sacrifice to satisfy the Lord. So this is the conclusion. So he created it from the parts of the Lord, and then he was able to satisfy the Lord by that sacrifice. He was the enjoyer of sacrifice. So still he was able to satisfy Krishna, which is the purpose of sacrifice, to develop that consciousness of dedication and sacrifice to the Supreme Lord, which is the purpose of the material world, the purpose of the Vedas, the purpose of everything, to develop that mood of sacrifice towards Krishna. So this sacrifice brings peace, Prabhupada explained. My dear son, thereafter your nine brothers, who are the masters of living creatures, perform the sacrifice with proper rituals to satisfy both the manifest and unmanifested personalities. So manifested personalities are like the rulers of the kingdoms, etc., and the non-manifested personalities are the Lord himself. So, and in Kali Yuga, the demigods are also unmanifest. Previously, they were manifest. They would come to the sacrifice. So here, he said, I performed sacrifice, and this is how the world is made, sacrifice, and then it was carried on by my sons, which means the brothers of Narada, because Narada is the son of Lord Brahma. What is it, the mental sons of Lord, these great rishis, etc., these sons of Lord Brahma, they're the brothers of Narada. Thereafter, the Manus, the fathers of mankind, the great sages, the forefathers, the learned scholars, the daityas, and mankind perform sacrifice meant to please the Supreme Lord. So, this is how the history of the world is maintained, and this is how the world will be maintained now. By sacrifice. So he's answering his question, Narada. Your brothers perform sacrifice? And then after that, well, my sons or your brothers perform sacrifice, and then it was carried on by the Manus, the Rishis, the forefathers, the scholars, the devotees, and Manushya, all mankind perform sacrifice. And therefore he comes to the conclusion, all the manifestations of the universe are therefore situated in his powerful material energies, which he accepts self-sufficiently, although he is eternally without affinity for the material modes. The Prabhupada said, the question put by Narada before Brahma concerning the sustenance of the material creation is thus answered. The material energy, it's personally maintained by Vishnu or Krishna himself. And basically this is also summing up not only the question about sustenance, but really all his questions. Because the whole question was, is what is Krishna's position in relationship to the material world? And this is the answer. All the material manifestations are therefore situated in his powerful energy. The whole material world is his energy, which he accepts self-sufficiently, although he is eternally without affinity for the material world. Chintya Veda Veda Tattva. again, simultaneously one and different. By his will, I create, Lord Shiva destroys, and he himself, in his eternal form as the personality of Godhead, maintains everything. The conclusion. I think the previous verse was explaining that he's pervading everything, he's the basis of everything, and now he concludes that he maintains everything. And Sridhar Swami says, this verse states the Supreme Lord alone preserves the universe. So that's the answer. He alone. Not Shiva, not Brahma. He alone. And Jiva Goswami says, this verse shows that Brahma and Shiva is subordinate to Vishnu. And that Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. Because he is the maintainer. And the example is given. Someone builds the house, someone destroys the house. The one who maintains the house is the proprietor. So the universe may be created and destroyed by the agents of God, but he is the proprietor. He maintains it. That shows his supreme position. Prabhupada quotes in the Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Savam Iti, that Krishna, everything is Krishna. He's pervading everything. And also the verse is given, Mataparatanam Nanyat. You know, that there is nothing above me. Everything is resting on me. That's the verse from Bhagavad Gita. Mata paratanam nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya. That everything is resting on me as pearls are resting on a thread. This is the what's being explained by Lord Brahma and Narada in relationship to Krishna's position in the material world. The prophet also in the purport discusses the word tri shakti drik. He's the controller of the three energies. And what are the three energies? The internal potency, the external potency, and the marginal potency. So the internal potency is samvit, sandini, ladini, cognitive potency, existential potency, pleasure potency. The marginal potency is the living entities. And the external energy manifests into the modes of material. In other words, all energies or all shaktis are coming from Krishna. Therefore, he's the Supreme Lord. My dear son, whatever you have inquired from me, I have thus explained unto you. You must know for certain that whatever there is, either as cause or effect, both in the material and spiritual worlds, is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this verse really concludes Lord Brahma's answer. It's just like a perfect, there's a few verses of summary. I think one summary, how he's pervading everything and how he maintains. Whatever I explain, whatever you've inquired from me. So this finishes up. In other words, whatever you've inquired from me, anupritchasi, then abhihitam, and whatever I explained unto you, you must know for certain, whatever there is, either as cause or effect, both in the material or spiritual world, is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sat-asat. There's no cause and effect in transcendence or in God. He has no cause. There's no cause and effect. But in the material world, everything is cause and effect. So, Prabhupada says, the original cause is the personality of Godhead. He's moving and working first as the cause and then as the effect. Effects of the original cause become the causes of other causes, and thus everything, either permanent or temporary, is working on cause and effect. But the Supreme Lord is called the cause of all causes. And Prabhupada again quotes Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paramaha, Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sava Karana Karanam, and Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham Sarvasva Pavavo, Matasarvam Pavartate Iti, Bhat Matva Bhajante Ma Buddha Bhava Samam. Quotes Brahmanohi Patishtaham. Krishna is the ultimate cause, is the ultimate basis. Now we're going to get to some very interesting verses.
Navarati me nangam shopalakshyate navai kvachin me manaso mishagati name rishi kani patantya satpate yanme Rido Kantaya Vatajato Hari.
O Narada, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, with great zeal, whatever I say has never proven to be false, nor has the progress of my mind ever deterred, nor my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment to matter. So this is very, because I have caught hold of the feet of the Lord in my heart. Hrida means heart. Ot kant yavata, with great earnestness. Kant, kanti, like kunti mala, means throat. And o means, it's like, you can picture a bird who's stretching for some worm, you know, or some food. That's what otkant means. Ignorance. I think it means like the throat is stretching. Krishna kirtana. Eager kirtan. Loud kirtan. Enthusiastic kirtan. So this, because I've caught hold of the personality of God, with great eagerness. With great eagerness, and therefore I'm qualified. Therefore I can speak. Therefore what I say is not wrong. Therefore I'm in authority. And it says, therefore, the words, whatever I have spoken, my bharati, my statements have never been mrisha, untruth. Manasa, my mind, mrisha, has never been untruth. And my senses have never patanti, been degraded, asatpati, by matter, because of this. Karmana manasa gira. Ihayasya harer dasye. Karmana manasa gira. One who serves Krishna with karmana, his work. Manasa, his mind. Gira, his words. He's never degraded. He's never wrong. He's always liberated. Yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira. Nicholas tu abap tasu jivan mukta sujate. He's liberated soul. So Prabhupada discusses in the purport, Vedic knowledge is infallible because it comes down directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead into the heart of Brahma due to his being a devotee. Tene Brahma hidaya adi kavaye. The original speaker is getting his potency from Tene Brahma, from Krishna. And therefore whatever he says is truth because of his direct and very intimate relationship with Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Because he's worshipping Krishna with such great love. Because he's a great devotee and he accepts earnestly the lotus feet of the Lord. Prabhupada says, so therefore whatever he says, whatever he thinks, and whatever he does, normally in his mood, are to be accepted as truth because of his direct and very intimate connection with Govinda, the primeval Lord, Sri Govinda, who pleasingly accepts the loving service of his devotees, gives all protection to the words and actions of his devotees. So because he is a devotee, he has this direct and intimate relationship with Krishna. And therefore Prabhupada quotes, Konti apajajanahi name bhakta pranashti. Because Arjuna had that intimate association with Krishna. Then Krishna said to Arjuna, declare it boldly, my devotee never perishes. And he asked Arjuna to declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. Because Krishna protects the words of his devotees. He protects the words. And he himself, he can lie. He's independent. Therefore, you may or may not believe Krishna. But his devotee, he protects his words. Declare it boldly. My devotee will never perish. Prabhupada said, because sometimes the declaration of Govinda himself may seem contradictory to mundane creatures, but then mundaners will never find any contradiction in the words of Lord's devotees. Devotees are especially protected by the Lord, so they remain infallible. So this is the process. When one is connected with Krishna, then what his words say are under the internal potency. What his mind thinks is under the internal potency, and what his actions are under the internal potency. And therefore, Prabhupada also quotes Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam chiyo vabhyacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityai tan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So, when you surrender to Krishna in chaste bhakti, then you come to a liberated platform and you're no longer under the modes. That's what basically Lord Brahma said. Because I've surrendered with earnest, I am under the internal potency of Krishna. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim asrita. When you come, when you surrender to Krishna, Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim asrita. You come under the diving prakriti, the divine energy, the internal potency. When you want to serve Krishna intensely, then you are taking shelter of Krishna's internal potency. And therefore you're moved by Krishna's will, and therefore your movements become perfect. So therefore he's saying this, and therefore Prabhupada concludes, that is the purport of this important verse. A grain of devotion is worth more, is more valuable than tons of faithlessness.
So hum samana yamayastapomaya prajapatinam abhivanditapati astaya yogam nipanam samahitas tamnadyakacham yata atma sambhava.
Although I am known as the great Brahma, perfect in the disciplic succession of Vedic wisdom, and although I have undergone all austerities, and although I am an expert in mystic powers and self-realization, and although I am recognized as such by great forefathers of the living entities who offer me obeisances, still, I cannot understand him, the Lord, the very source of my birth. So in other words, independent, he cannot understand him. He's the greatest creature, but he admits his failure. So these qualifications are not sufficient. Austerity. These are the expert mystic powers, recognition. It's not sufficient to understand the Supreme Lord. But Brahma can understand the Lord to a little extent. Why? Then Prabhupada uses the word from the previous verse. Pridhaut kantyavata, the eagerness in his heart. When he's trying to serve him by the eagerness of his heart, which is the devotional service move, that's how you can understand Krishna. Therefore, the Lord can be known only by the sincere mood of eagerness for service and not by any amount of material qualification. And this is corroborated in Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti-mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmatatata. Only by bhakti can you understand Krishna. Only. And then Prabhupada also quotes, Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma-bhakti. By bhakti only, it becomes very easy to understand Krishna.
Natosmiham tats charanam samiyusham bhavachidam swas yayanam sumangalam yoyatma maya vivavansma paryagat yata navasvantam matapare kuta.
Therefore, it is best for me to surrender unto his feet, which alone can deliver me from the miseries of the repeated birth and death. Such surrender is all auspicious and allows one to perceive all happiness. Even the sky cannot estimate the limits of his own expansion. So what can others do when the Lord himself is unable to estimate his own limits? So he's indicating It started with this and it ends with this. The process of creation is inconceivable. Therefore, you can only understand him, understand the process of creation by surrendering to Krishna and serving Krishna, not by one's own limited powers. And after Brahma explains, that's what Maharaj Prickin and Sukadeva Goswami discussed between themselves, that how will you be able to understand this, but I'm approaching you because you're a devotee, and that is your qualification, and now the conclusion by Lord Brahma. Therefore, it is best to surrender to the feet of the Supreme Lord if you want to understand the Supreme Lord. That's the conclusion, because even Krishna could not know his own limits. And that's kind of like an interesting point that Prabhupada discussed in the because that the Lord cannot measure his, it doesn't mean he's imperfect in that sense. The actual position of the Lord, the actual position is the Lord can measure it, but the happiness in the Lord is also identical with the Lord on account of absolute knowledge. So the happiness derived from the Lord may be measured by the Lord, but the happiness increases again, and the Lord measures it again, and then again it increases. So this happiness of the Lord, he cannot measure it, because it's his own Shakti. Because it's his own Shakti, it's always increasing. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes this, that when Krishna sees Radharani, he becomes very happy. And when he becomes very happy, when someone becomes smiles, he becomes more beautiful. So then Radharani sees Krishna's smile, she smiles, and she becomes more beautiful. And because Krishna sees Radharani become more beautiful and smiling, his happiness increases and he becomes more beautiful. Because his happiness increases and he becomes more beautiful, Radharani's happiness increases. So it goes on. So this is it. So even he cannot estimate. What to speak of others trying to estimate that internal potency of the Supreme Lord. So this verse is describing how only this devotion, this surrender, charanam, samiyusham, of the surrendered soul to the lotus feet of Krishna. So when this is Brahma's condition, that he has to surrender the lotus feet of the Lord to know him. And he knows that the Supreme Lord, his greatness is beyond himself and others. So this is his position. So you can see the same theme is there. Lord Brahma, the greatest of all learned living beings, the greatest sacrificer, the greatest observer of the austere life, and the greatest self-realized mystic, advises us as the supreme spiritual master of all living beings that one should simply surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord in order to achieve all success, even up to the limit of being liberated from the miseries of material life and being endowed with all auspicious existence. Therefore, the men of this insignificant planet should kindly accept the instruction of Brahmaji and would do well to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord rather than trying to estimate the length and breadth of the Lord's potency. His potencies are immeasurable, as confirmed in the Vedas, Parasya, Shaktir, Vibhidhaivya, Shruyate, Swabhavika, Jnana, Balakriya, Cha. He is the greatest of the Lord. In other words, the Prabhupada says you can't even measure one universe, but to speak of understanding Krishna's glory. Again, the tripad vibhuti. Even the eightpad vibhuti you cannot realize. Even, as you said, you can't even realize one universe, which is like a mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds. What to speak of the greater expanse of the spiritual world? The Prabhupada discusses this and how it's better just to surrender as Brahma did. Directly. And then Prabhupada just makes a very practical point But the material energy is also Krishna's energy. So you really have to surrender to Krishna anyway. Why not surrender to his internal potency? Because as it says in the verse, by surrendering unto the Lord, one is happy and liberated, and by surrendering to the material nature, the living entity suffers. Because the material nature is under Krishna's direction. Mayadyakshana prakriti suyate chaturachara. His energy. So the end of all suffering means surrendering unto the Lord, because the surrendering process itself is bhava chidham, liberation from all material miseries, swasthyanam, perception of all happiness, and sumangalam, the source of everything auspicious. Therefore, liberty, happiness, and all good fortune can be attained only by surrendering to the Lord, because he is full of liberty, full of happiness, full of auspiciousness. So, we should, again, the Lord himself and his pleasure and his happiness is unlimited. And therefore, the verse is quoted here, Tapo divyam yenika sutra, yenika putra satram, shudye yasmat, brahma sokyam twanantam. The sokyam, or the happiness of spiritual life, is twanantam. It's without end. It's unlimited.
Naham nayuyam yadritam gatim vidur, navama deva kim utapare sura, tadmaya mohita budya yastvidam, Vanir mitam chatma saman vachakshmane.
Since neither Lord Shiva nor you nor I can ascertain the limits of spiritual happiness, and because all of us are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, we can only see this manifested cosmos according to our individual ability. He's talking about the material, you know, this is the universal form, how Krishna is pervading the world by a fragment of his potency. And we're so limited in our vision. And therefore it's mentioned here that this mentions Shiva, or you, Narada, and I, Brahma. That's the Mahajans, three of the Mahajans, the great spiritual authorities, which are 12 in number. And they all can know to some extent something of the Lord. But because they're bewildered by the illusory energy, and Prabhupada quotes 7.13 in Bhagavad Gita, Tibhir gunamayir bhava evi sarvam idam jagat. Every living being from Brahma down is individually bewildered by the three modes of nature. Therefore, they can't perceive. And this is the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Hene brahma hidaya adi kavye muyanti yat suryaha. Muyanti yat suryaha. Even the great sages and the demigods, like Lord Brahma, are bewildered by the potency of the Lord. So the only way to understand the Lord is by surrendering to him. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya darateya. The material energy is his energy. Mameva ye papadyante mayam etam tarantite. It's his energy, but by surrendering, then we can overcome it.
Yasya vatara karmani dayanti yasmad adaya nayam vedanti tatvena tasmai bhagavate nama.
Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose incarnations and activities are chanted for us by glorification, though he can hardly be fully known as he is. After explaining the creation, Lord Brahma comes to the conclusion, he can hardly be known. He's so great. We should just surrender to him. That's the best we can do. Not just speculate about him, but surrender to him. So this is the process of devotional service. This is the process, in other words, if you want to understand the truth, you have to perform devotional service. This is Lord Brahma's conclusion. and Prabhupada gives some references. And he quotes the verse from the Bhagavatam that we studied before, Tachatayana Munayo, Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya, Pashyantyatmani Chatmani, Bhakta Shruta Grihitaya. This is the verse because Sutta Goswami told the sages of Namasharanya that the purpose of life is to realize tattva. Jivasya tattva jigyasa. And then he explained what tattva is. Vedanti tat, tattva vidas. Those who want to know tattva, the tattva vidas. Those who know tattva, what do they say? Vedanta tattva vidas. They say what? Prameti, parameti, bhagavan iti shadute. Vedanta tattva vidas, tattva yajganam advayam. That the absolute truth, Krishna, is the substance of everything, which can be known in three ways according to our process of approaching him and the perspective in which we look. But it's one spiritual substance. There's not that there's a Brahman and there's a Paramatma and there's a Krishna. There's Krishna. And according to how you look at him, you see him in different ways. You realize tattva by bhakta shruta grihitaya, by performing devotional service from what you hear from the scriptures. That's the process of realizing tattva. And by Shradhana Muni, the seriously inquisitive sage, the one who's seriously eager to become Krishna's devotee, and therefore he wants to hear the truth. He wants to hear the perspective by which he is Krishna's devotee, and Krishna is God. And he wants to know the process to realize Krishna. Because he wants Sambandhagyana, he wants Abhidhayagyana, he wants Piyojanagyana. He wants knowledge of our relationship with Krishna, even if it means that that relationship means that Krishna is God and not me. He wants that. And therefore he wants to practice that service to Krishna. Lord Brahma therefore offers, thus the Lord, no one can know the Lord by any puffed up material process or challenge, but the humble devotee can please the Lord by his earnest devotional activities. Thus the Lord reveals himself proportionally before the devotee. Lord Brahma therefore offers his respectful obeisance as a bona fide spiritual master and advises us to follow the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. Simply by this process, or simply by hearing and chanting the glories of the activities of the Lord's incarnation, one can certainly see within himself the identity of the Lord. The conclusion is that one cannot know the Supreme Personality of Godhead fully by any method, but he can be seen and felt partially by the devotional process of hearing, chanting, etc. Sa esha adya purusha kalpe kalpe srijatyaja atmantman yatmanatmanam sasamyachati paticha sasamyachati pati paticha. That Supreme Original Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, expanding his plenary portion as Mahavishnu, the first incarnation, creates this manifested cosmos, but he is unborn. The creation, however, takes place in him, and the material substance and manifestation are all himself. He maintains them for some time and absorbs them into himself again. So, this again is just summing up the conclusion. And therefore, Prabhupada chants, quotes the verse 9-4. Sums up the conclusion that it's Krishna in his Purusha avatars that is maintaining everything in the universe, creating everything, maintaining everything, and will absorb them in himself again. It's all his energy. And therefore, Prabhupada quotes the verse 9-4 from the section of Bhagavad Gita, which the theme of that section is Krishna's achintya beta beta tattva relationship with the material world. Mayata tamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutena nchaham teshva vastita. He's pervading everything by his energies and yet he remains aloof. So he sums it up again by describing Mahavishnu, and also because he concluded, Lord Brahma, that to know Krishna, you have to chant his glories. He's going to start explaining the different incarnations of Krishna, and they start with the Purusha Avacharas. They start with Mahavishnu. We saw that in the third, was it the third chapter that described the incarnations? And when the incarnations are described, it started with the Purusha Avatars. Because from the Purusha Avatars, all other incarnations come within this world. So he's actually practically offering a glorification.
Vashuram kevalam jnanam pratyaksam yadavastitam Satyam purnam anadyantam nirgunam nityam advayam Vashivadanti munayo prashantat mendriyasaya yadatat evasattarkaistiyodiyetaviplutam.
The personality of God, it is pure, being free from all contaminations and material tinges. He is the absolute truth and the embodiment of full and perfect knowledge. He is all-pervading without beginning or end and without rival, O Narada. O great sage, the great thinkers can know him when completely freed from all material hankerings and when sheltered under undisturbed conditions of the senses. Otherwise, by unattainable argument, all is distorted and the Lord disappears from our sight. So he again, this is Lord Brahma, he explained the position of Mahavishnu, his deeds within the world of creation. He's beginning to explain Krishna's glory. So in the previous verse 39, he explained his position as creation and maintaining, etc., as the Purusha Avatars. So again, as he explained him in relationship to the material world, he again explains him as transcendental to the material world by explaining his qualities as Vishuddham, without any material tinge, Kevalam, pure and perfect, Pratyak, all-pervading, Satyam, truth, Purnam, absolute, Anadi, without any beginning, Ananta, without any end, Nirgunam, devoid of material modes, Nityam, eternal, Advayam, without any rival. So this is just like the first verse, Krishna's position. He's the supreme personality of Godhead, the creator of everything. He's perfect. He's the supreme truth. It explains his position. And when Narada, you asked me about him. You wanted to know about God. If you want to know about God, then you have to be completely free from all material hankerings. And your senses have to be ashraya. They have to be pacified. They have to be pure. You will not understand them but tarkai, by logic. Asat tarkai, by logic. Because by logic, viplutam, it'll be distorted. All is distorted by logic. Trying to understand God by logic, all will be distorted, and tira diyata, he'll disappear. You won't understand them that way. And Prabhupada discusses the necessity to understand God, you have to become pure. And he quotes 7:28. Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta vijanti manjit. When you become free of all your past sinful reactions, then you can worship Krishna and understand him perfectly. So he's going to go on now explaining about the incarnations. Ajo vatara purusha parasya kalasambhava sarasanmanascha travyam vikaro guna indriyani varat swarat sasnu tarishnu bhuna karanarnavayashi Vishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effect, mind, the elements, the material egos, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. So, again, Karnadakshai Vishnu is the first incarnation. And the material world is temporary to manifest, and Krishna manifests as Karnadakshai Vishnu to oversee the creation.
Aham bhavo yagyame prajesha takshadiyo ye bhavaradayasya svalokapala kagalokapala nilokapalas talalokapala.
I, myself, Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, great generators of living beings like Daksha and Prajapati, yourself, Narada and the Kumaras, heavenly demigods like Indra and Chandra, the leaders of Bhurloka planets, the leaders of the earthly planets, the leaders of the lower planets, the leaders of the Gandharva planets, the leaders of the Vidyara planets, the leaders of the Chandranaloka planets, the leaders of the Yakshas, Rakshas, Uragas, the great sages, the great demons, the great atheists, and the great spacemen, as well as the dead body, evil spirits, Satan, Jinn, Kushmandas, great aquatics, great beasts, and great birds, etc. In other words, anything and everything which is exceptionally possessed of power, opulence, mental and perceptual dexterity, strength, forgiveness, beauty, modesty, opulence, and breeding, whether in form or formless, may appear to be the specific truth and the form of the Lord, but actually they are not so. They are only a fragment of the transcendental potency of the Lord. So the same concept is, it goes back to Brahma's, Narada's original misconception that something else besides Krishna was supreme, due to the fact, as it mentioned before, of his deluding potency. Maya makes us see, puts us in material consciousness, which means we can't see Krishna as supreme. So his conclusion is he listed everything, and we may value things, and we may worship things. They may appear to be truth and the form of the Lord, but actually are not so. They're only a fragment of his transcendental potency. So Prabhupada explains how people become bewildered by God's shaktis, not understanding that the shaktiman, this possessor of the shakti. In this verse, it is advised by Brahmaji that none of them is the Supreme Lord. They only borrowed plumes from the original Almighty Lord Krishna. When the Lord advised in Bhagavad Gita worship alone, it is to be understood that worshiping Lord Krishna includes all that is mentioned because he, Lord Krishna, includes everyone.
Pradanyanto yan rishiyamamante lilabhataram purushasya bhumana apiyatam karna kashaya shoshan anukramishye tamiman supeshan.
O Narada, now I shall state one after another the transcendental incarnations of the Lord known as Lila avatars. Hearing of their activities counteracts all foul matters accumulated in the ears. These pastimes are pleasing to hear and are to be relished. Therefore, they are in my heart. So it's very interesting. Even though they describe the creation, it was just a question that Maharaj Prickett asked about the creation. And when you go and you describe Krishna in the creation, how great he is, then it immediately goes back into the main theme of the Bhagavatam, that we should chant here Krishna's pastimes. Because when you understand how great Krishna is, then you want to develop devotion for him. And the process is to chant here his pastimes. And that's the process to clean the heart. So although Maharaj Prickett asked about the process of creation, he's now going to hear about all Krishna's Lila avatars. Purport, and therefore, in the purport, Prabhupada goes back to the original discussion between the original discussion by Sita Goswami about the origin of the Bhagavatam, how it had to do with Kali Yuga and the necessity that Vyasadeva service, which was to present transcendental knowledge, was incomplete because he didn't sufficiently glorify Krishna. So we'll go. As it was said in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam 158, one cannot be fully satisfied by hearing unless and until one is given a chance to hear of the transcendental activities of the Lord. So Brahmaji is also trying in this verse to stress the importance of narrating the transcendental pastimes of the Lord as he comes and manifests himself here on the surface of the material planet. So, if we see also in the Bhagavatam, whenever there's a description of creation, when you get to the last verse, it's always about drink deeply the nectar of hearing Krishna's pastimes. Every living entity has a tendency to hear pleasing messages, and as such, almost every one of us is inclined to hear news and talks broadcast by the radio station. But the difficulty is that no one is satisfied at heart by hearing all those messages. The cause of such dissatisfaction is the incompatibility of the message with the innermost stratum of the living soul. The transcendental literature is especially prepared by Srila Vyasa to give the utmost satisfaction to the people in general by narration of the activities of the Lord. As instructed by Sri Narada Muni to Vyasa, such activities of the Lord are principally of two varieties. This is very important. One concerns the mundane manifestation of the material creative force, which we just read about, which is creation, and the other deals with his pastimes in the form of different incarnations in terms of time and place. In other words, two incarnations of God. He creates the world, and then he enters into the world. There are innumerable incarnations of the Lord, like rivers flowing constantly in and out. Less intelligent persons take more interest in the creative force of the Lord in the material world, and being disconnected from their relationship with the Lord, they put forward many theories of the creation in the name of scientific research. The devotees of the Lord, however, know well how the creative forces work concurrently by the actions and reactions of the material energy of the Lord. They therefore take more interest in the transcendental activities of the Lord as he incarnates himself on the surface of the material world. I told that to James, didn't I? I'm more interested in Rupa Raghunath, you know, when you get into all the creation. They take more interest in the transcendental activities of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is the hearing of such activities of the Lord, and people who take interest in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam clear their hearts of accumulated mundane filth. There are 1,001 rash literatures on the market, but one who has taken interest in the Srimad Bhagavatam loses all interest in such filthy literatures. Sri Brahmaji is thus attempting to narrate the principal incarnations of the Lord so that they may be drunk by Narada as transcendental nectar. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second canto, sixth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Purusha Shukta Confirmed. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.